Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I wish I was as tall as Chris, but but we're not, so I'm not as short as Rick. Is Rick here? Okay. A warm welcome to everyone today. We're glad you're here, and we can have fellowship together and sing songs of praise. Thank you so much, Andrew and Heidi and Mark, and for the great music. There were some wonderful words, weren't there, in those songs. We have such a great God who loves us and has provided salvation for us. What a blessing. This is our last king, as Andrew said, King Uzziah. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, that's the chapter that describes more detail about his life. 2 Kings also has the story. Just a few verses in 14 and chapter 15. And in that passage, he's called Uzziah. So I looked it up. I guess I'm going to pronounce it Uzziah. I'll probably forget. I wasn't used to pronouncing it quite that way. But anyway, but he was also Azariah in the book of Kings. So he had two names. The name Uzziah means the might of the Lord, and the name Azariah means whom the Lord strengthens. Both of those would be great names for children, and especially if the child lived that out in their lives. And to some degree, Uzziah did. God strengthened him and helped him. And so we're going to look at his life a little bit. And I'm going to use it today a little bit as a way of review of the kings. It just happens that way. If you want to write some numbers down on your outline, if you're used to taking notes, on my paper here, I've got 23, 17, 12. It's not a combination lock. It's not in our Bible. It's interesting. Uzziah reigned, the Bible says he reigned for 52 years, but the first 23 years, he was actually reigning in place of his father Amaziah. We're going to look back at his father and learn today some of the things that he actually lived through. And he was actually reigning. It doesn't tell us exactly when in the events that are recorded in chapter 15. But anyway, 23 years reigning in place of Amaziah, because Amaziah had difficulty. Then 17 years reigning by himself. And then because of his sin, he was a leper for 12 years. So 52 years sounds like a long time, but he was actually only reigning as king for 17 years on his own. And so we'll sort of look into the details and try to learn some lessons from his life and remember some of the things that we don't want to do for sure in living our lives too. So we're going to pray first, and then we're going to actually read the passage in 2 Chronicles 26. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've recorded the lives of these kings. They are full of instruction for us. You recorded them so we could learn lessons, and sometimes there are examples to follow, sometimes there are examples not to follow. But either way, Lord, help us to learn from your word today, as was already said this morning. So we commit our time to you. We're dependent upon the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and to teach today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to read the story, and then we'll come back and make a few, look at it a little bit closer. But starting with verse 1, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. it doesn't tell us right there that Amaziah was still the king, but that's the case. And you can hear the language from what's said there. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. That's probably his father. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, spelled a little bit different in the Book of Kings. I love it that the mothers are mentioned. I don't know if you've noticed that. We don't talk about them because it doesn't give much detail, but there's nothing more important than a mother in the son's life, and especially King Uzziah. He did right, verse 4, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And we'll come back and talk about Zechariah just briefly later. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal and the Munites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock. This is a great verse from Montana. We have some farmers and ranchers here. Both in the lowland and in the plain, he also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. I don't know if that appears anywhere else in the Bible. Actually, it might. I don't remember it. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jeiel the scribe and Messiah the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the households of valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he'd made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. And so, as I said before, for the last 12 years of his reign, Jotham was actually reigning as king, the active king there. And Aaron did Jotham. He was one of the godly kings and had some great lessons in chapter 27. And so, just a couple comments. Verse 22, we won't mention. That's a lost book. It's not in the Bible. The Acts of Uzziah, the prophet Isaiah wrote. That's not a book that we have access to. It would be nice to read that book and get more details about him. And so that's just a very brief story about the life of Uzziah. We're going to go back and just look at these verses in a little bit more detail and then try to learn some lessons. What I've done on your outline, it might not make much sense to you. It's probably more of a place to take notes if you like to write things down. In the introduction, spiritual discipline is needed. I just wrote this statement: God made all the provisions necessary in his word to guide the king. We had that when I spoke on Solomon, Deuteronomy chapter 17, specific instructions on how the king should live, what he should do, and what he shouldn't do. And the people also received instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 6, specific instructions on how to raise your children, how to bring God before your children every day. We're going to turn back there real briefly. I'd like to read that. We have young families here, and these are verses that you should read carefully and live by them, because they're so good. God has given us his word, and you want to read it to your children every day. And one of these verses says, you teach them, you talk about them when you're walking, when you're sitting in your house, when you lie down, when you get up. It's a constant thing that we do. And if you don't have to look back, if you're in Deuteronomy, in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles, really encouraging words about Uzziah. It says, he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. You know, Uzziah did great as long as he read the Bible, and as long as he learned from God and stayed close to God, he did great. When he became strong, it caused him to think, I don't need God as much. That's really... it's such a simple thing, and yet that's what happened to him. He started trusting in himself, and he disobeyed God and lost the privilege of being king, really, and was judged for it. But as long as he stayed with God and sought the Lord, God prospered him. That's true in all of our lives. We need to meet with the Lord every day. And so I thought it'd be good to read a few of these verses, just to seal that in your mind. And Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. Deuteronomy, by the way, is, if you weren't here before, is written specifically for the young people who lived through the wilderness wanderings. All the older people died. God wrote Deuteronomy. It's a restatement of the law, concise statement for them to live by. And verse 2, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Same thing that Uzziah learned. As long as he stuck with the Lord and listened to God talking and read the word, he was okay. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. It's a continual teaching. It never ends. It's every day. It's part of our, it has to be part of our lives. We need to have the Word of God in our minds. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. It's great to have Bible verses in your house written there. Your children will remember that as they grow up. It goes on. It tells the Jews, everything you have I gave you. And so the rest of the chapter is just as important. I just wanted to read those verses as a reminder of how important it is to be with the Lord every day, read his word, talk with him, and obey what he says to do. Unfortunately, Uzziah did not grow up in a home that was exactly following that. We're gonna see that. His father, Amaziah, had good intentions, but he wasn't always doing what he should do. And the Bible says that here. And I'm going to use him as an example. The first thing, do not forget, as we've gone through the kings, I've always been amazed. Man, how did the children make it through this kind of a house? You know, Rehoboam improved. If you remember, he only had, 30 or 40 wives? I can't remember what Ed said when he spoke on Rehoboam. But, you know, they grew up in homes where the Bible wasn't being obeyed. And it was just sort of standard operating. Things were done that were not right. And so to make it out of that, to make it out of that kind of a situation is really amazing. And perhaps the mothers had a lot more to do with that than we read about here. Okay, very quickly, I'm just going to go through a couple points. On my Bible, it's on the same page. I hope yours is similar. We're going to look at chapter 25, verse 2. You might have to page back. Here's the point. The first thing is teach the Bible to your children. That was in Deuteronomy 17, God told the king, you take Deuteronomy, you write it out, handwrite it out, and you read it every day. Remember that? It's you have to read this every day. You have to have it part of your life. And it's a constant thing. Otherwise, you might slip because all of us are weak. We're not strong in ourselves. So about Amaziah, the second thing I'd like you to remember, and Peter talked about this in the first message of the Kings, David had a heart that was following after God. It's so important to follow God with our whole heart, to be totally in. We don't compartmentalize our life. I go to work, live my life there, and I come home and live a different life there. I go to church, live a different life in front of everybody else. No, our life is whatever's worst about my life, that's who I am. I don't know how else to say it. Okay, that's who I am. There are no secrets with God. Whatever is worst about me, that's truly me, whether I can hide it from other people or not. And so here's, in verse 2, it says, Amaziah did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. He had qualifications, and that's not good. It's very important to follow the Lord. In Acts 2:46, it says about the early Christians that they had a single heart, a sincere heart to follow the Lord. And it's twice, we're going to study Ephesians starting next week. Ephesians 6:5, again, a command to have a single heart, a sincere heart. Colossians 3:22, the exact same command. Those commands were for the slaves who were common in the New Testament times. Even though they were slaves and had to be obedient to master, they were told to follow the Lord and be a good slave, do your job. So he had a whole heart. He didn't follow the Lord with his whole heart, and so that was really important. The second thing is an unequal yoke. How many times have we seen that? Josiah teamed up with Ahab. That's the one that is astounding, isn't it? The most wicked king with a good king, and he does an unequal yoke. How many times have the kings gone to Assyria, Egypt, somewhere else to find help in fighting their battles? And in Amaziah's case, he goes to Israel. Israel was not following God. And so he goes to Israel and asks for help. And that's in verses 5 down to verse 9. And I'm just going to read a couple verses about that. In verse 6, Amaziah hired 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he's got paid mercenaries, but a man of God, this is what God thinks about it, came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. But if you do go, do it, be strong for the battle, yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help and God has power to bring down. You know, remember the rule in Deuteronomy 17? They didn't even need an army. Uzziah was a great military guy. But you know, when you're trusting God as a Jew, you didn't need an army. Remember last week, Hezekiah, 3 chapters about focusing on rebuilding the temple, reestablishing worship, getting rid of all the idolatry in Israel, 3 chapters, and then the Assyrians or Syria comes, Assyrians, what does God do? He kills them all in one night. God watches over his people. It's not exactly the same for us, but we need to trust the Lord just like them. Realize that God is our help. He's the one we trust. And so he got that message, and Amaziah then's got a problem. I just paid money. Verse 9, Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? Warren Wiersbe, I read his little commentary. He said, when you start making decisions based on how much it's going to cost you, you've already stepped over the line. You've already made a mistake. You make decisions to obey God regardless of the cost, okay? Remember that. It's always good to obey God's word and to trust him. And so he's actually obeys the man of God and sends him out, and they ravage part of Israel. They were looking for the spoils, so they just go and they destroy some cities right in Judah. That's just part of Amaziah's life. Okay, verse 14, the third thing. So he had unequal yokes, is unwise, is spiritual idolatry. The third thing that Amaziah displays for us, and how many times have we seen that? How often did it say, as we studied the kings, they didn't tear down the high places? Even on the good kings, some of them did get rid of the idolatry. But Amaziah, in verse 14, it says, now after Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir and set them up as his gods, bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, Why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? You go down and wipe out the Edomites and then bring their gods home and start worshiping. Think about, you know something? Amaziah wasn't reading his Bible. It's so clear. His heart was not right with God. Okay, verse 16, as he was talking with him, the king said to this prophet, have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? Then the prophet stopped and said, I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. He was arrogant. Okay, just a message. Remember our family life? If you have pride, if you have arrogance, your children are watching you. You can teach them 1,000 years not to be proud. But if you're proud, they're going to follow your example. And that's what happens in Uzziah's life, sadly. I'm not saying he couldn't have made it through without this, but it's difficult to expect your family to do well when you're doing things that aren't right. And that's what happens with Amaziah. So he brings these gods, and that's it with God. He's done with Amaziah. I don't know exactly when the people came and made Uzziah king instead of him. It happens right during some of these events. Verse 17, it gets worse. I'm just keep reading chapter 25, verse 17. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, come, let us face each other. In other words, let's go fight each other. You know, this is total foolishness. Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thorn bush which is in Lebanon sent to the cedar which was in Lebanon and said, give your daughter to my son in marriage. But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. He's telling a little parable or story, mocking. He's mocking Amaziah. You know, why are you doing this? We're going to destroy you. We're going to get rid of you. And you said, behold, you have defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud in boasting. Now stay at home, for why should you provoke trouble so that you, even you, would fall and Judah with you? But Amaziah would not listen, for it was from God that he might deliver them into the hand of Joash, because they had sought the gods of Edom. And then it goes on and tells the story how they defeated Amaziah. Again, another bad example, bad, unwise decisions. Even Josiah, a good king, remember when the army was going past him, he said, I'm not going to let them pass. And they warned him, don't come here. It's bad decisions. You know, we learn wisdom from God. The fear or awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom comes from. We need to not trust in our own strength, not trust in our own ways, but get our wisdom from God. So all these things that Amaziah did, spiritual idolatry, unwise decisions, pride, an unequal yoke, serving God not with his whole heart, living this all out in front of his family, and, you know, it's really a sad story. And Uzziah, for the most part, comes through this really quite well. And it's encouraging to read that verse 5, back to chapter 26. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Appreciate men. I know you can probably think back in your life, if you're a believer, to people who discipled you or mentored you, shared the word of God with you. I can name 4 or 5 guys when I was young that were doing that in my life. Some without me even knowing it was happening, but appreciate that. And do that for younger people. And fathers and mothers, do that with your children. Teach them. Sadly, if you go back in history, Zechariah was killed, and so was his father, Jehoiada. I'm pretty sure that's the Jehoiada and Zechariah that this is referring to. By wickedness, it happens two or three chapters before our passage here. But this all happened within the lifetime of Uzziah when he was a young man. Zechariah was still alive, and he was still teaching the word of God, and then his life was taken. And there was judgment because of that, that event. Okay, we're going to look at verses 6 to 15 now, and just think of I'm going to mention a few things. I wrote down in your outline, live a balanced life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it says Jesus, when he's young, this is a description of him when he's young, Jesus grew in wisdom, mentally, in stature, physically. All little boys like to rough and tumble and run around. They get exercise, they grow up, and that's part of being a boy, part of being a man. It's natural. Physical, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was in favor with his father. He always pleased his father. He walked closely with his father. He would go out and pray in the middle of the night. He had a balanced life. I don't know if you can see what I'm saying. Then when he's teaching in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33, very familiar verses, you probably know some of them by heart, but Matthew 6:33, after Jesus talks about, don't worry about what you wear, what you're going to eat tomorrow, worry about your spiritual life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Uzziah, and this is not a judgment, by the way, he did an amazing thing. Donald Trump would have hired this guy. Yeah. No, this guy's this, you know, he perfected the art of warfare in his time. But they didn't need an army. They did not need an army. They needed to read the Bible. Literally, just flat out, full stop. That's what Uzziah needed. He needed to have a balanced life. Stick with God, trust God. And not, it's so natural for us to spend energy in the things that we like. I remember working, and one of the guys, I worked for a company in Missoula, we had, you know, as foresters, and one of the guys one day said, we were just sitting there, and he said, do you believe they pay us to do this? You know, our job, I'm just telling you, was so fun. We got to go out in the woods. We got to see animals. We got to see stuff that was unbelievable. And it was fun just working. You know, and there was history there. We would survey lines and find corners that were, you know, stuck in the ground 100 years before that, 200 years before that sometimes. And it was fun. It was a fun job. But, growing trees is fun too. I love doing that, but I can spend too much of my energy and my time in things that are fun. Computers are fun for some people. For me, they're not. So that's not a distraction. But think about your own life. What do you really enjoy? Make sure you balance that with your desire to walk with God, to spend time with him, to find out how great God is. We really haven't said much about it as we study. God is so great. God is so gracious with these kings. It's amazing. The slack that he gave them. And sometimes it seems harsh, the judgment that they went through, but the slack that he gave these guys, he's gracious and long-suffering. Get to know God, walk with him, and spend time with him. That's all I mean. Uzziah, he lost the joy of that in verse 15 and verse 16. it says he was marvelously helped until he was strong. He became so strong that he lost the joy of trusting God and walking closely with God. And that's when he made this huge mistake in his life. And so, you know, have a balanced life. Recognize your weakness. I wrote some notes on here. Recognize your weakness and trust in God. Recognize that God did it. You know, he gives us everything. He helped. It says he marvelously helped Uzziah. He didn't do this because he was smart on his own. God gave him the mind and the ability to do that. Every time a jet flies over in the sky, look at it, just think, there's people that actually could, you know, invent this stuff. I mean, I can't even figure out how to run a smartphone. You know, there's people, God, he gives wisdom to them. They know how to do this stuff. But if they direct that energy to God and give God the glory and stay close to the Lord, it's amazing what they can do. So do that. You know, focus on the spiritual. We don't have to focus on things that are fun because they come natural. I like to eat. That comes natural. Focus on the spiritual food that you are desperately in need of to nurture your spiritual life. And you have to dig and it's worth it, and it's fun if you do it. There's a blessing in doing that. So live a balanced life. Okay, and this last spot here is develop an awe of God by reading his word. You know, as you read the word of God, that's where you develop an awe or a reverence or a fear of God. The word fear is not being afraid of him. It's reverencing God. And that's what Uzziah missed out on. As he got away from the Lord, his fear of God, his awe of this God who was in the temple and who was present there, he lost that. He had no fear. He walked in there and grabbed a censer and started you know, doing stuff that only the priests were allowed to do. There's so many lessons in this last little section. I'm just going to read a couple things. Why was this so serious? Okay, it's super serious. And I think the foremost reason, the big reason, why did this sin bring such a harsh punishment? I wrote some statements here. Christ had not yet opened the way into the holy place, into the temple, where we don't need a priest to make sacrifices for us. That was still Old Testament. They were consecrated. They could be in God's presence. They had to make sacrifices for their own sins before they went in there. Even the high priest, he was not a holy person in himself. And so they had to be consecrated and make sacrifices to have the right to go in and offer these sacrifices. It's all a picture of what God was going to do someday, which is sacred. God was going to send his son as the sacrifice. He was going to rip the veil and allow us access into the temple, into the holy place, to offer sacrifices, to know God. And so it was a sacred thing. And because Uzziah went in there with no consecration, he was in danger of his life. I mean, it could have been worse for him. It could have been worse. And the priests are following him in there saying, man, you got to get out of here quick, guy. You don't realize how serious this is. And so he didn't know it. And then he lost his temper when they cornered him and said, you know, you got to get out of here. He lost his temper, which just shows the kind of spirit that he was in. This was ungodliness being expressed right in the temple of God. And so it was an unholy thing, and it was sacred because the holy place was not open to anyone except the priest. You know, just a comment, the church, and this is serious too, the church has recreated the distinction between clergy and laity, and in some places, some ancient churches, we witnessed this in Turkey. We went to what was a tourist site, And the priest was there with his censer, oddly enough, up in front, and he would go back, and there was a holy place. It was sort of separate from what you could see. He would walk back in there and do whatever he was doing. And it was a tourist attraction. The guy that was there talking about it, I didn't understand a word he said because he's speaking Turkish, but Tim was listening, and Tim knew the guy a little bit. It was down in Mardin, and they had been going to Mardin. There's a thriving church there now, by the way, where this Orthodox church was. It was built in 515, to give you an idea how old this was. When that church was built, those people were true believers. If you read the book of Revelation, the message to the churches, God says, I hate the works of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans established a distinction between the priest who could do this and you guys sitting out there. And that was just as bad as Uzziah going into the holy place and offering incense. It was no different. They've reestablished that, and so it's just a warning. We are all priests, men and women. God has created a kingdom of priests that can worship God. God said to the woman at the well, God is seeking worshipers, but you have to worship in spirit and in truth. There's no one needs to officiate this worship. No one stands up and says, I am the official here. The Holy Spirit, it officiates worship. And so that's just a lesson. I wrote those things down, and then two other things. The word for pride, if you look at your old King James Concordance, it hardly appears in the Bible. The word is lifted up. Uzziah lifted himself up. That's what Satan did in Isaiah when he lifted himself. He said, I will be like the Most High. He lifted himself up and fell because of his pride. It's a sin that we have to be very careful about. It's one of Satan's modes of operation. So be careful about lifting yourself up. Now, this is different from the pride of doing a good job. This is different from the pride there's many ways that pride is good. This is pride that says, look what I did. Look what I have. Look at me. It lifts ourselves up into a place where we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be humble. The thing that's bad about lifting up is it goes against the nature of God, the person of God. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. God is humble. We don't think of that. God is humble. Pride lifts ourselves up above God, and it demeans the character and nature of God. Be very careful about it. It's Colossians 3, I think it's verse 15. Clothe yourself with humility, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Was Uzziah patient? As soon as they confronted him, he started yelling at him. No, it was opposing the nature of God. And then it was because he was strong. When Paul the Apostle was receiving revelations from God, and we won't read the verses, if you want to write notes, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, he specifically says, God gave me a weakness. He said, so I wouldn't be lifted up in pride. God gave me a weakness in my flesh. It doesn't tell us what it was. He prayed that it would be removed. It was not comfortable. It was not pleasant. But God gave it to him, he said, so I wouldn't be lifted up in pride. God kept Paul humble. He was a very blessed person, and he could have started thinking of himself, look what I did. But God helped him to get rid of that issue in his life. The other thing is the opposite of faith. Faith is dependence upon God. When I trust God, when I have faith, I believe that God is going to keep his word. I believe that he's going to hear my prayer. I'm depending on God. I realize I can't do this. I can't bless people. I can't help them. That's what faith is. I ask God to make me a blessing. I ask God to bless people. Pride is the opposite of faith. It's, I can do this on my own. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough, and I can do it on my own. So Uzziah teaches us some really valuable lessons about, you know, not losing our dependence on God, not thinking that we're so strong that we don't need God. And I think someday we'll see him. I think he'll be there in heaven. And that was imagine the lessons that he learned for 12 years, not being able to go to the temple, not being able to be with people, probably not even his family to some degree. And God help us to finish well. That's the reason we talk about this, is so that we don't fall into these things, unwise decisions, pride, spiritual idolatry, unequal yokes, having a divided heart. God help us to love him and serve him. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for the record that we have of these men in the Old Testament. And you say specifically in the New Testament, they were written for our learning, for our instruction. Help us to take this seriously, Lord, to learn these lessons, to recognize that in myself there is no good thing. Just help us to be humble. And as it says in Romans, which is in the bulletin, Lord, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but as God has given to every man a measure of faith, you've given us the faith we have. You help us to trust you. Help us to have humble hearts and to be a blessing to others because of that. Lord, I pray that you will help these young families, these young people, as they teach their children. Give them joy. Bless them as they share the word of God, as they sing songs. Teach them in simple ways when they're young and read stories to them. Just bless them, I pray. We just give thanks to you, and just help us this week to be walking close with you. Bring us back again next week. We just pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.